Imagine the scene from a TV show or movie. Someone runs into the room screaming, "Whatever you do, don't sign anything." Even Hollywood knows a signature is mighty important in the law. You sign something, you're bound by it, usually. And usually, if you forget to sign something, there's a problem. The teller at the bank, for example, might send the check back through the drive-through drawer. You need to sign checks, contracts, applications. A signature is proof that you've agreed to do something, or verification that everything is correct. And so a court usually requires that a lawyer, or anyone who files a legal document, sign it. There's a federal rule, in fact, using strong mandatory language. Every pleading shall be signed, and an unsigned paper shall be stricken. Usually what that means is that the legal document is stricken, but in the tamest sense of the word. It's sent back to the attorney, just like the scenario at the bank's drive-through window. The court returns it for a signature, the attorney signs it by the time it's due, and everything's okay. Courts usually won't accept things that aren't signed, because with a signature, the person filing it certifies that the document is valid, the legal arguments are made in good faith, the facts asserted are true. So what of poor Dale Becker, a prisoner from Ohio who filed a civil rights complaint against his prison, complaining about secondhand smoke? The lower court dismissed his case, and he filed an appeal. But he forgot to sign his appellate form, and instead typed his name above the dotted line. By the time court personnel discovered the mistake, the time for filing an appeal had run out, and the federal appeals court tossed his case. No signature on time, no timely appeal, no appeal possible. Sorry, Dale Becker. But the U.S. Supreme Court just a few days ago decided that Dale Becker could have his day in appellate court after all. Justices decided unanimously that if Mr. Becker promptly signs his appellate form, even after the time for filing his appeal has passed, it's okay. It's a mistake that's curable. Tell that to John Mattingly, another Midwesterner, who a few years ago filed an appeal and forgot to sign it. He learned from appellate judges much later that his appeal would not go forward for lack of a signature. The federal appellate court in that case wrote that, yes, such a rule did produce harsh results, but a rule is a rule, and it would be up to lawmakers to change it. Now the Supreme Court has, in a sense. But the decision to send pleadings back for a signature is really a return to happier times in court, pre-John Mattingly. And, notably, pre-litigation explosion, other courts seem to waive the signature rule rather routinely. A bankruptcy case from 1949, no signature, no problem. Same with a case from 1950 in which the court called the lack of a signature a mere oversight. And even in 1972, the court called it a mere technical defect. Although hinted that had the other side complained about the lack of a signature, it would have looked at the matter more seriously. And now Supreme Court justices agree that an unsigned filing doesn't necessarily mean doom. Whatever you do, do sign your pleadings, but don't fret if you don't remember. I'm Amy Guida.